Good evening, Madison. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I am your mad scientist host, Wally. And with me in the studio is my fellow mad scientist friend, Ellie Silver. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Wally.
Yeah. So Ellie, her codename is Otter Mom. She's wearing matching PJs with her kiddo because she makes having a kid look cool with her little awesome sprout, Hannah, who is 6 months old and hanging out in the studio. It's baby's first radio show. Hannah's codename for now is Taco Cat. So, you know, everyone gets a codename on the show as part of the Mad Scientist experience. So her spouse, Kevin, a.k.a. a Fire Cricket, he was one of my first guests almost 2 years ago on the show. And he is on Dad Detail out in the lobby. So Otterbaum works with Interlace Health, which does e-forms for healthcare. She's enthusiastic and creative and very results-driven as a product engagement manager. But we're here to talk about life, the universe, and everything about the science of being a new mom, which is not something that I have any personal experience with, being both a man and not having any kids. I mean, everyone has a mom, but I don't remember being 6 months old. Tell me a bit about these first 6 months and kind of how your life has changed and the science behind trying to take care of yourself plus one.
Wally, being a mom is so awesome. And being Hannah's mom is just magnificent. Kevin and I are so lucky, and I'm so grateful that, you know, he's her dad. It's just a really fantastic situation. So we had the summer. Hannah was a baby over the summer. She's still a baby.
She's very small.
She feels so much bigger than she was. Mm-hmm. And so we got to experience Madison with our new baby. Mm-hmm. And it was just the best Madison summer that I've had yet. So being a new mom is exciting because you're getting to see the world through the eyes of somebody who has never experienced all of this before. And it makes all these things that you do on a day-to-day basis new and exciting when you're sharing them with someone who they're new and exciting for. And it's also kind of hard in some parts of it, of course, but it's great.
Shout out to my sister who's got two girls and still doesn't sleep very much. You got to get sleep to make things happen, but it's just, you kind of throw it out the window. So what's your trick with sleep? How do you make sure your brain gets what it needs?
Yeah, the first couple days, you don't really sleep. Mm. And that was different. Mm-hmm. That was a different experience. You're just so tired. And I don't know, we kind of thought we would be able to sleep, but the baby needs you so often that you really have to be ready and available every 3 hours, regardless of if you're awake or not. You need to be. Mm-hmm. So we tried for the first 3 weeks to have her sleep in the bassinet next to our bed so that we could see her and respond to her quickly. And she didn't really love that. Mm-hmm. She would squirm around, and she likes co-sleeping and sleeping in our arms. Mm-hmm. And so when we realized that, we checked out a bunch of books from the library and did research on how to co-sleep safely. So we made all the necessary adjustments that the books recommend. People all over the world co-sleep with their baby. And so there's lots of tips and tricks on how to do it safely. And she loves it. She sleeps great. I love it. I sleep great because I know that she's okay right next to me. So
do you guys have any, what's your baby tech, baby cam? Do you have like a like a monitor? I guess she's just right there, but so she's down for a nap. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's got to be like all the Bluetooth crazy, you know. It's not like a closed circuit TV anymore. It's like high-tech stuff, right?
Oh my gosh, it is quite high-tech. So it's a camera that has video and audio. So when we put her for a nap, we point the camera at her and it live feed of her sleeping. So we can see that on a little receiver that's Wi-Fi enabled, and we can also see it via an app on our phones.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that.
That's neat. And you, I love this about your company, that you came back from maternity leave and they gave you a raise, which is the way, wait, should be some people worry about losing their job?
Yes.
Nope, you got more more responsibility, or just what, just a kind of a level up, or what?
Yes, a promotion, more responsibility. And so I actually changed my position. I was working on the sales side of the house. Mm-hmm. And I supported the sales reps. I did demos of our software for prospective customers. Mm-hmm. And I had been doing that for 6 years, and I really love working at Interlace Health, mm-hmm. but I wanted to do something more. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm on the product side of the house, and I work with developers and the customers and the implementation consultants to figure out what our product needs and what to develop next so that we can continue to help hospitals and make sure that patients and providers and the health information department have the best experience with their forms.
Okay, cool. Hot take. What, you have any opinion about the antitrust versus Epic? Because you're in that industry.
Oh, gosh.
You can plead the fifth if you want.
Maybe I should.
that's not about being a mom. Let's skip that question. Okay, anyways. You know, Kevin's a great man. He's been a friend of mine for many years. And I met you guys at my house at a zombie turkey Christmas party. We were having a Thanksgiving, a potluck. And, you know, I know when you were pregnant, he was doing gig work and picking up weird jobs. And now he gets to be a stay-at-home dad, which is super awesome. And you're remote entirely, or just like, how does that work out for you?
Yeah, I am remote entirely. Mm-hmm. My office is in St. Louis.
Okay.
So, well, my headquarters is in St. Louis. My office is in the second bedroom in our house. But yes, sure. Kevin is the full-time daytime caregiver for Hannah. And it is fantastic because he makes sure that she is socialized and it gets time to explore and play and see the world, mm-hmm. and hang out with friends while I'm busy working and doing meetings and the stuff that needs to happen between meetings. And then he always makes sure to bring her home for lunch so that I can feed her
right.
Yeah, in the middle of the day, because we both need it. We all need it.
Yep.
But it is really awesome, and I feel so lucky to work from home and have such an awesome partner to take care of our awesome baby while I'm doing it.
That's great. And that's, yeah, it's not just for, you know, housewives. You got house dads, house people, house they, thems, whatever it is. And I was lucky enough to grow up with my mom for the first few years of me and my sister's life, was able to be stay at home and do landscaping. And I think it's why we're so awesome, you know.
Yeah.
I say so humbly.
So my mom also, I am really lucky because she was a stay-at-home mom for a long time. And then when she did go back to work, she worked at the school that my brother and I went to.
Yeah.
So we walked to school together all the time. She was there for all of our class parties and performances. And I'm very lucky that I had such an, I still have a very involved mom. And now she's a very involved grandma, which is so awesome.
That's great. Okay, so young one being new to the world, and we live in a time of interesting truths. And so how do you feel about having Hannah get vaccines and being a vaccine community around Madison?
Yeah, being someone who has a background in science and health and biology, I am very pro-vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, when she was born, she got all the vaccines that they give you at the hospital, and at every checkup since, she's gotten all the recommended vaccines. We actually have to go back for round two of, we get to go back for round two of the winter vaccines that everyone gets. The way vaccines work is it exposes you to a little bit of the inactive virus before you see it in real life. And that really helps your body understand what to do if and when it encounters it in a live situation. And it's like, you wouldn't go play a professional basketball game without practicing. You need to practice. Your body needs to train before it meets the real live experience. So we definitely want to make sure that Hannah is vaccinated and healthy and gets the best healthcare that the U.S. has to offer.
Good deal. And then, where do we live with chicken pox these days? Because if you get chicken pox when you're too young, you don't build up the immunity. So I think you have to get it when you're like, I remember being like, you're 8 years old and your mom was like, okay, it's time for you to go get chicken pox from the neighbors. And you would go over there and you'd be like, wait, what? Wait, okay. Don't I normally not? But yeah.
Wally, I am not calling you old. I'm just a little bit younger than you. But by the time I was a kid, I had a chicken pox vaccine. And we all avoided our friends with the chicken pox. We did not go to their houses.
I didn't know that. That's why I learned stuff on, yes. on the show every month, I promise. Okay, good to know. That's because I have two nieces, and now I won't have to ask my sister about that. Okay, other mom tech. So you have a cool buggy out there. You know, I'm curious about progressions in breastfeeding technology too. So you're lucky enough to have a situation where you can be present, probably don't have to pump or formulas or what's your stance on all that business?
Yeah. So really, if you think about it, you know, we were all babies once.
Indeed.
And we're all here. We're doing more or less okay. And we either had breast milk or formula. Mm-hmm. I feel really lucky that I get to breastfeed Hannah, but there's really not that much of a difference when it comes down to it between babies who are formula fed and babies okay. who are breastfed. It's more about the love and the care mm-hmm. that they get around that.
Sure.
And so for those who can't breastfeed or don't want to breastfeed, they don't have to. You know, formula is fine. And we do supplement with formula a little bit because pumping is a challenge.
I bet.
Oh my goodness. And so between work and feeding Hannah, it is hard to have enough extra mm-hmm. for the times that Kevin's out with Hannah and needs to feed her from a bottle.
Got you. Yeah, that makes sense. So talking about cold and sun. So are you a sunscreen pro? I've seen Hannah with some really big sun hats on, trying to prevent that UV damage. So it's all about gear and layering, huh?
Oh my goodness. That was such a tough balance this summer, making sure that we were out and doing all the fun things that Madison has to offer over the summer, but keeping Hannah the proper temperature and not letting her get sunburned. Because if you cover her up, then she could get too hot. But if you go out in just a diaper, then there's the sun. And when they're under 6 months, they're not supposed to wear sunscreen. There's a lot of rules and recommendations that new parents have to know and follow to make sure that their babies are healthy and safe. We experimented a little bit with some baby sunscreen on her face one day. It was fine. She was fine. Her face did not get sunburned. She didn't get a rash from it or anything like that. But ultimately, we limited the sun exposure by keeping her covered and made sure that we took cooling breaks throughout the summer. And so forth. Just, you know, it was a hot, sunny,
it was a muggy one,
weird
times, yeah.
Air quality summer, but we That's still true. Wanted to get out there. So we brought cool washcloths with us and we made it safe.
Oh, that's a good idea. What about bug spray?
That's similar to sunscreen.
Okay.
Yeah, that was also a challenge. So like kind of when it got dark, we ended up having to be inside because it was pretty buggy.
Sure.
And you're not supposed to put bug spray on infants. So
that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, the DEET is like not, it's either going to be DEET, which is pretty kind of caustic stuff, really.
Yeah.
And then otherwise all the essential oils, and they're very sensitive to smells and their skins are delicate and whatnot.
So we put bug spray on ourselves and we used a kid-friendly baby-safe bug spray, which is meant for babies older than 6 months. But we put that on ourselves and then we didn't put any bug spray on her. And when we started to notice it would get buggy, we'd go inside. We looked all summer for like a mosquito net or something to put over her stroller, and it was kind of hard to come by. So
I'm kind of picturing like going to hardware store, getting like the magnetic screen port thing.
We should have done
you
that.
You know, I have an extra one.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. I mean, they're like $10.
But, yeah.
But it's kind of high stakes, right? Those magnets fail, and you got little wee beasties on your wee beastie. No one wants that. All right. Also, how about your like diet and food, and like, what are you doing to make sure that your body is up for? Because it's a very strenuous thing having a child. The whole process of being pregnant is, you know, your body is being supporting another being, and like your nutrients, your calcium, your various there's a lot of stuff that goes around that. So how are you handling that? What's the story there?
Oh my goodness. Eating is hard, but going back to Kevin and how awesome he is a fantastic cook. And so throughout my whole pregnancy, he made sure that I was eating a good amount of fish and protein and greens. And, you know, he ate the same thing too, but he cooked for me and that was great.
That's awesome.
And now it's so much harder because he's taking care of Hannah during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's less time to cook. But, and I'm working during the day, and when I'm not working, I'm taking care of Hannah. So we sneak in little bites when we can. We try to make like tuna salad and have that around, and things that we can like grab out of the fridge and eat little bits when we walk by. But yeah, definitely making sure that I'm eating fish and protein and dairy.
Any vitamins? You doing like any supplements or anything?
Yeah, when you breastfeed, you're supposed to continue to take the prenatal vitamin that you take while you're pregnant.
Oh.
And so I take that every night, and I also take magnesium and zinc and iron. Because babies need to get iron as well, and so I need to make sure that I have enough iron to pass it through the breast milk for the baby. So that is...
the iron breast challenge.
It is. It is.
That's awesome. Well, cool. We're going to take a little... Otter Mom here has picked a song for us. It's A Wonderful Life by Jessica Harper, and I can tell you that whatever they're doing, it's working because they're... healthy, glowing family, and I am proud to have them here. So take it away, Engineer Daniel. Thank you.
It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. There's a baby on my knee, there's a treasure in my pocket, there's an angel in my tree. Let's pick a thousand flowers, better yet, let's watch them grow. One thing I'll tell you is the one thing I know. My shoes have wings. Let's catch a thousand fireflies. Better yet, let's watch them glow. One thing I'll tell you is the one thing I know. It's a wonderful life. Oh yeah, it's a wonderful life. Hello, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. La la.
Now, if that isn't just making the toe-tappingest, baby-swinginest, on the hippiest little song, very, very pleasant. Why, what was inspiration for that song?
Oh, that was one of my favorite songs when I was a kid.
Ah.
And so I get to play it for Hannah now.
Awesome. What do you think is different about, besides having to get chicken pox, what's different about being a mom now versus what your mom is telling you about being a mom? Like how is, especially the science of being a mom and some of the perceptions, how has that changed over time?
It's interesting because I have the perspective on how my mom parents from being a child, but then I have the perspective on parenting from being a parent. And, you know, even if we go as far back as my grandma, my mom and my grandma had kind of free range childhood experiences. My dad, too, you know, it was go out and come back at whatever time they came back. And I did not have that experience. I had a very engaged experience, and both my parents were very involved with sports and school and all of the things that we did, and so supportive. And I think that that really set my brother and I up for success throughout life. You know, I'm so grateful for that. Some of the challenges I think that I have, as a parent that my parents maybe didn't have, I didn't have an iPhone till I was 18.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So, but Hannah already knows what an iPhone is. She sees it all the time because, right, unfortunately, I have to use it all the time for work and things like that. But we don't give it to her as a toy.
Okay.
You know? But I feel bad as a millennial being someone who has to use my phone and she sees me on my phone. But we try really hard to not be on our phones while we're playing with her. One of the really cool things that's different between when I was a kid and my parents were parenting me and now is that we get those phones to talk with our friends and family around the world. So even though Hannah doesn't get to see her grandparents every day, she gets to FaceTime with them so she can still hear their voices and see them on the screen. And she loves seeing them on the screen. So some differences there around technology and the supervision and support that parents are able to give now. Yeah, it's but I think ultimately what it comes down to is now that I'm a parent, all parents just love their kids. And that's so exciting. And that goes across generations.
And your friends want to see. So I have a similar experience. I have two nieces. They live in Chicago with my sister, my brother-in-law. And growing up, they really made a point to show pictures of us and FaceTime, and so that when we were first, you know, we may not live next to each other, but I felt like I was more connected through that process than as I don't visit as much as I would like, really, but I do get that experience. What about social media? I have friends who've said they don't want to have their kids on social media. You said that you guys are pretty open, it seems like, about that. You got a cute kiddo, but I mean, what do you, I know that's like navigating that as they get older is going to be interesting, but for now, you're okay with like pictures and whatnot?
Yeah, you know, right now, and for a little while going forward, we are the people who get to make decisions for Hannah. And that's a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so we are cautious about what we post on social media. We don't post everything. But with friends and family all over the world, I want to share our experiences. I want them to be able to see the fun things that we're doing with Hannah. And as she gets bigger and grows and all the smiles that she shares, they're fun to share.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kevin and I had a conversation about, are we going to post pictures of our baby on social media when we were pregnant? And we decided that we will, and we do it responsibly. Mm-hmm. And everyone can make their own choice whether they want to post pictures of their kids on the internet or not, or cover their faces with an emoji.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to go about it, and none of them are wrong.
Right on. Well, do you have any like hot mom tips, or, you know, I should say, like science based, like secret weapons that are helping you get through these first 6 months with the kiddo that people might not think that, maybe someone out there who has a 6 month kiddo who's going into the holidays, so that's the toy they need, or any tips like that for the folks listening at home?
Oh gosh, well, to riff on the toy bit for a minute, Hannah's favorite toys are a wooden spoon. And a stress ball.
Yeah,
she has so many fun baby toys, and she just loves the wooden spoon and the stress ball and the pop sockets. None of them. She plays with the baby toys, but really, one of the things that we learned was you don't need as many toys as the internet tells you that you need. And so that's a hot tip, I would say, especially when they're first born. All they need is you.
Yeah.
So there's so many high tech things, and They do help solve some problems that may pop up, but you don't know what you need until you need it.
Got you.
So you don't need to buy everything and be ready. Just experiment as you go.
I'm a gift giver. I gave some Hanukkah gifts as the family is a lovely practicing Jewish family. And Hannah was playing with a light
because
that's sort of one of the things. And yeah, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
So now there's a shout out to the Sunny Synagogue youth group. They had me teach them. They taught me about Tikkun Olam. Is that right? So how does your faith and how does having a kid interact with your kind of caring for the world and passing on the healing of the world over time?
Yeah, Tikkun Olam is, there's so many wonderful things about Judaism, but Tikkun Olam is one of my favorite concepts that Judaism has to offer and values. It's, as you said, repair of the world. And so that can come from so many different ways. It can come from taking care of the environment. It can be as simple as being kind to the people around you. Big on social justice from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we strongly considered using cloth diapers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they are better for the environment, especially if they're on their second or third use.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the people who use cloth diapers. It is hard work to keep those clean. So we don't. And I do hurt a little bit every time I throw a disposable diaper away. But it really is so much more convenient. And so that's somewhere where I have that value of taking care of the world. Mm-hmm. And I try to do as best as I can. But when it comes down to it, some things just can't always fit into that.
Got to be human first and being happy. And yeah, I respect that for sure. I feel that way about composting. I always want to compost. And when I can't, I'm like, ugh.
We do. But and we have so much dirt. What do we do with it?
You flail yourself too much, yeah. You know, it always goes way too fast. I can't believe it's almost time for our show to end. Once here, I've been joined in the studio by Ellie Silver and her otter pup, Hannah, Taco Cat. So Otter Mom, thanks for sharing some tips about the science of being a cool Jewish mom in your first days. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This was such a delight, and what a fun way to spend the fifth night of Hanukkah.
There we go. What's the official? I know is there a theme for every night? What's tonight's theme?
Is there a theme for every? I think tonight's theme is Beyond the Radio.
Yeah, that's I knew it. See, I was feeling it. Well, that's awesome. We have an outro here in a minute. It's a little take from the Maccabees. It's a lock recipe. Hope you enjoy that. But for now, you have been listening to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your once a month madly scientist loving host, Wally. And by the way, we need more cool parents out there to avoid the idiocracy. Happy Hanukkah. Have a lovely night, and I'll see you next year.
Tonight is Hanukkah, got everything we need. A frying pan, some oil, and a latke recipe. Let's celebrate our ancestry. We've got, the latke recipe. Some potatoes, peel and grate. Shredding onion, tears streaming down your face. It keeps that flame alive.